to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams is now live on InfoWars.com.
Welcome to Counterthink with Mike Adams. Today's topic, very important topic. Humanity has lost its survival instinct. I'll discuss that today, analyze it, what it means to you, and why it also means that we really cannot reach the vast majority of the people out there anymore. They are beyond reach because their neurology has been literally burned out or transformed or taken over. They cannot be, the logic and rational circuits of a normal neurology are gone in these people. We cannot reach them anymore. We'll talk about that here today, but a couple of programming notes. This is the second to last packaged episode of Counterthink. There's only one more. Now, if you've missed any episodes, you can see them at counterthink.com. Importantly, I will be posting non-packaged episodes, just video updates from time to time, at counterthink.com as the collapse of civilization accelerates, as the Civil War unfolds in America, which looks likely at this point. And I will be featuring analysis of events, pro-America, pro-patriot recommendations for survival and preparedness, as well as some essential skills that you'll need to make it through the insane times that are coming. This is a very special, you know, content selection. This is for a very small number of people. This is for people who are awake and aware and who still have the will to survive, which, again, most people do not. We are living in a world that has been transformed into a suicide cult. And I'm now convinced, and I'll give you some specific reasons why, I'm now convinced that most of humanity wants to destroy itself. We are literally living among suicide cultists who pretend to be progressives or pretend to be leftists or pretend to be, I don't know, they pretend to be the enlightened ones or the elites. They are not only wanting to annihilate humanity, they want to destroy themselves. They are a suicide cult, and I'll get into that in more detail. Now, if you're wondering, first, if you're wondering why we're ending the Counterthink packaged show, it's because I'm switching gears. I'm building out a brand new studio for a new show that I'll be launching called Food Forensics, and it's a food science investigation into what you're eating. And I'm doing this because, you know, everybody eats, right? Everybody eats sooner or later, even those of you who are fasting. Sooner or later, you come around to some food, otherwise you die. So everybody eats, but people don't know what's going into their food. And I've said so many important things over the years here about, you know, survival and preparedness and globalism and the coming genocide that I thought I needed to take it back to some just more practical information from a lab science point of view. I'm a lab scientist. I have two patents approved by the patent office about food technology. I'm a published scientist with science papers, and I run an ISO-accredited laboratory with multiple mass spec instruments. So what we're going to do is bring all that to you in a new show called Food Forensics. That'll be at foodforensics.com, and I hope that we can package those up to be broadcast ready, although it may take us a couple of months to get to that point. We're going to take off-the-shelf food. We're going to go to grocery stores. We're going to go to the Whole Foods buffet. We're going to go to McDonald's and Taco Bell and Burger King, and we're going to buy their food, and we're going to take it into the lab and run it through the mass spec analysis, looking for heavy metals and glyphosate and atrazine, you know, different pesticides and herbicides. And we're going to analyze the ingredients, and then we're going to bring you an analysis of every food item to show you, like, what's safe, what's good, and what may be toxic or harmful to your health. That's the show, Food Forensics. There won't be any politics in Food Forensics. It's not about survival. Well, actually, we may have an episode on sort of the best long-term storable foods, but it's not about civil war or genocide or the destruction of the human race, which I talk about here on Counterthink. Food Forensics is going to be about food science because, frankly, I think that everybody deserves clean food. I think everybody, whether you're a prepper, whether you're a conservative, even liberals and progressives, everybody deserves clean food. And who knows, maybe if they start eating clean food, it might restore some brain function and they might stop being zombies. Because really, toxic food ingredients are part of the problem in the world. So that's coming. But I'll be back with more here, just taking a quick break, back on counterthink.com. Stay with us.
Warning. Take the red pill before viewing. Counterthink with Mike Adams.
We're back on Counterthink. This is Mike Adams. And of course, the topic today is how humanity has lost its will to survive. As I call it, the survival instinct is gone in most of humanity. I'm going to give you a scientific analysis of how this has happened and where we are and what it means for you. If you are watching this or listening to this, you're really one of a very small group of people. You're unique in the sense that you still have that survival instinct in you. You and people like you represent the future of humanity. You are the ones who can adapt. You still have the willpower to survive, to overcome tyranny, perhaps. You are into knowledge and learning and expanding human consciousness and understanding. I'm here today to tell you that, according to my recent observations, most of the human race has devolved. They've lost the survival instinct. They've lost all rationality. They have become zombies, humanoid zombies, but they're addicted to their screens. They're all walking around looking at their screens all the time. Some of them are walking into traffic. Some of them are walking off cliffs, taking selfies. Literally, this is happening all around the world. People are killing themselves trying to take selfies. You know, we just call that Darwinism right there, a little natural selection exercise for humanity. But people are doing this. People are absorbed into artificial realities, and they're isolated from the real world. As a result, you see today's youth, they're growing up, and they have these amazing social skills online. They know how to manipulate people. They know how to fake like their life is so amazing and take selfies that make them look good. They're living this artificial life, and they have these artificial friends. But if you ask one of these people, these young millennials, hey, change a light bulb. They literally do not know how to change a light bulb. Or if you ask them if they need to change a car tire, first of all, most of them can't even drive anymore. And secondly, they wouldn't even know where to begin to change a car tire. To them, that's an impossible feat. They would have to call some tire-changing expert, I think, to do it. Now, there are some wonderful young people. I'm not trying to say that all young people are bad. You know, there are some young people who are very creative. There's some young people who are very outgoing, who are inspiring, who do want to learn, who do want to understand what's happening in the world. Many of those people. I've got some of those young people working for me, by the way, in our company, in our nutrition, our science lab, our video editing, and so on. We've got some great young people. But the masses of the young people are growing up in a way where they have no real world skills. And that's scary. And it's also scary that they no longer have the will to survive. So you see all these young people talking about how they don't want to be here in the world anymore in the future when, you know, climate change makes the world uninhabitable. They've been convinced. They've been scared to death. They almost have PTSD symptoms now because the left-wing media has told them that the world is going to be gone. So many of them don't even want to survive. And they talk about why they should, nobody should have children because it's wrong to have more humans in the world. And they talk about killing their just born babies, you know, infanticide, the new abortion. What is it? Their philosophy now, if you could even call it that, of killing babies after they're born. And a lot of these people want to kill themselves. And they want to kill a lot of humanity with them. They want to take a few billion people as they go down. And that's because we've reached the point of insanity now where the species is starting to turn on itself and starting to become suicidal and violent and, you might say, zombified. And this is, it's interesting that if you look at the scientific experiments that have been conducted on bacteria or animals, even rats and mice and so on over the years, if you put those populations in an area where they have unlimited resources, let's say unlimited food and water, generation after generation, that population becomes lazy and pathetic. And this is the reason, why do they use bacteria for studies, or why do they even use mice for these studies? Because the generation cycle time is very rapid. you know, bacteria can divide every 2 hours or whatever, depending on conditions and the species. But, you know, mice and rats can also, of course, propagate very quickly. So they can study multi-generational effects in just a couple of months by choosing the right kind of animals for their experiments. I'm not saying that I would never run experiments on animals, but this is what has been done in science. And what they found is when everything is easy, when the new youth being raised, even by mice, which are mammals, by the way, and mice are actually very intelligent. And so the new youth being raised up, when they have unlimited food and water and they have everything they need, the population of mice becomes weak. It becomes pathetic. It becomes, you know, they stop adapting. They stop having challenges and they get stupid. And then when the resources start to run out, this massive population, let's say it's a bunch of bacteria that have filled the petri dish now, and all the free food is starting to run out, or if it's a population of mice and you start to have overcrowding and you start to have competition for resources, very quickly that population turns to genocide. The mice will start murdering each other and then literally eating each other. The bacteria start to modify. Some of them start to excrete chemical poisons. They actually start to produce chemical weapons to kill off other bacteria that used to be their, you know, brothers and sisters, you might say. Suddenly, what was peaceful and what was utopia, suddenly it becomes a violent, dystopian, collapsing system. And the population that exists at that time is so weak and so pathetic that they've forgotten how to survive. They've forgotten how to fight. They've forgotten what it means to have that instinct of survival. And this is what has happened to humanity. And it's only taken seven generations. This is crucial to understand. If you think about it, even the Civil War in America was only roughly seven generations ago. And that's it. You know, it's like your great, 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 great grandfather, what have you. Wasn't that many generations ago. In that time, people didn't have electricity. They didn't have advanced medicine. They didn't really have antibiotics that they knew about. They didn't have Snapchat, Facebook, Google. They didn't have iPhones and Android devices. They didn't have combustion engines, or vehicles, or automated farming machinery. People who lived in that day had to be survivors. They had to adapt. And especially the pioneers in America that moved out west, they had to be incredibly intelligent and have courage and have the willpower to survive. Even the history of Texas, where I'm based, how Texas became a republic and then joined the Union, the United States, and how the people of Texas had to flee the Spanish army and cross swamps with homemade rafts and ropes and pulling themselves across rivers. And that was the women who did that, by the way, while the men were back fighting. Today's men and women, most of them couldn't cross a river if their life depended on it. Oh, unless there's a bridge and a vehicle and an Uber ride. You know what I'm saying? Humanity has become incredibly weak and pathetic. Humanity has lost the will to survive, and humanity has lost the know-how. And what this means is humanity is being set up for a massive collapse event, where especially people who live in the cities who don't have any of these basic instincts, they will be highly susceptible to being killed by any major global event that might be unleashed or set off. And we know the globalists are working to unleash a global event to cause planet-wide depopulation. They want to cull the human population. They want to decrease the population by 90%. The thing is, what I'm bringing you in today's analysis is the understanding that it will not be difficult for the globalists to do that, because most people living today are so weak and so lazy and so pathetic that for globalists to kill them won't take hardly anything at all. Because the average person living in a city today at any age doesn't know where to find water, doesn't know how to build a water filter, doesn't know where to get food, doesn't have any stored food, doesn't know how to clean a firearm, work a firearm, doesn't own a firearm, doesn't even know how to rack the slide on a firearm, or even reload a magazine. They're highly susceptible to being eliminated by the globalists. Much more straight ahead here on Counterthink.
Doing what you're told without knowing why is what they want. Counterthink with Mike Adams.
Back here on Counterthink. So the realization from all of this is that when things start to go down, when it starts to hit the fan, you are going to find yourself surrounded by people who are suicidal, people who are incapable of surviving, people who don't know anything about survival or preparedness, people who will be freaking out at every little thing, and they're not prepared at all for what's coming. These people are going to be the greatest threat to your survival. In essence, you could say that the vast masses of the unprepared, those who have lost the will to survive, are going to be weaponized against you, in a sense. They will, out of desperation, they will try to steal your stuff. They will come to you and demand food and water and safety and shelter. And they will be willing to probably try to kill you in order to get that. But they're going to be so weak. They're going to be so, just pathetic. You almost can't even call these people human beings. And you've seen some of the videos about, for example, these pro-abortion activists who are out protesting on the streets, and they're trying to like roundhouse kick people. Well, they successfully roundhouse kick people. But when you see them doing it, they're such incredible weaklings and wimps that even if you took a roundhouse kick from one of those people, it wouldn't even hurt. It'd be like, wow, did you just seriously try to kick me? Let me show you how kicking is done. And you know what I mean? These people, I've seen training videos of Antifa, violent Antifa terrorists. And I think in Austin, Texas, there's a group called Red Guards and so on. I've seen training videos of these people where they are, for example, attempting to do push-ups, and they're attempting to do like jumping jacks. And it reminds me of, I don't know how old you are, but when I was in gym class in the seventh grade, and of course we had gym class, I think, every other day at that time, and it was an hour and a half class. And in gym class, you notice that there's always that one kid in gym class that like couldn't tie his shoes, couldn't kick a ball, couldn't play kickball. Because it was like he would swing his foot and miss the ball. You know what I'm talking about? I feel sorry for these kids. They have no hand-eye coordination at all. But there's always that one kid in the gym class. I'm not trying to say that it's their fault. Some people are just born with, chemically induced neurological defects, I'm sorry to say, because of the exposure to vaccines and food toxins and so on. But these Antifa and Red Guard and left-wing activists, they all reminded me of that kid in gym class in the seventh grade who couldn't tie his shoes, who couldn't kick the ball, who couldn't do one pull-up, couldn't do one sit-up. That's what these people are like. And I've seen videos where they have firearms. And someone actually loaned them an AR-15 and said, hey, shoot that paper target at 20, I think it was only 25 feet away. 25 feet, not even yards, just feet. And they were having a lot of trouble shooting that paper target at 25 feet with an AR. And you might ask why. Well, because they're weak, because they're weaklings, because when something goes boom, their neurology is all shattered. They can't even stand the sight of the word Trump written in chalk on the sidewalk. My point here is that these people, they have this crazy sense of self-importance and self-accomplishment. They were all given awards in schools because all the parents said, everybody's a winner. And everybody gets a medal. Everybody gets a ribbon. Everybody's a winner, even if you didn't get the right answer. It's okay. You get an A in math class. It's no longer about getting the right answer, right? This is how this generation was raised. No winners, no losers, no competition. Everybody's a winner no matter what a failure they are. As a result of that, these leftists, they literally believe that they can carry out a revolution and that they can succeed. So they are delusional enough to try it. That's my point. They're going to try to come at you. They're going to try to steal your stuff. And what they don't realize is that all the patriots in America have just been holding back. We've been holding back and trying to say, don't take us to the point of, Second Amendment activation here. Please don't push us to the point where we have to defend our nation against these insane domestic terrorists. don't make us, you know, use what we know how to use. I'm trying to be careful with my words here, because the average American firearms owner has no desire to shoot anybody in self-defense. They have no desire to initiate violence, but they're capable of it if it comes to that self-defense, if it comes to even defending their nation or defending the president, or maybe in a collapse, defending your family or your food supplies or defending, you know, your guns, bullets, and gold and butter and everything else that you have, right? So what all these leftists don't realize is that, you know, 50 of them couldn't defeat one patriot that I know anyway. I mean, the patriots that I know would take out so many. If the patriot were defending his home, I'm talking about self-defense scenarios here, not initiating violence, but defending your person, defending your family, defending your community, maybe working in conjunction with local law enforcement, local sheriffs and deputies, maybe supporting National Guard troops, as there's, who knows, a Trump-ordered, you know, martial law. I don't know what the scenario is going to be. But the average patriot that I know, you could send hundreds of these weak, pathetic leftist, left-wing terrorists to try to get that one person, and they would all those hundreds would be gone just from one person, at least the people that I know. And I've been to training classes over the years, firearms proficiency classes. I don't go to classes anymore because I'm so far beyond anything that's taught in any classes. And I don't like the other habits of the other students who don't have muzzle discipline. Like, I've been swept by way too many gun barrels, you know, in those classes from people who are not professional. But so I don't go to those classes anymore. But when I did, I saw that it only took one day of training for a typical, like, conservative American patriot to get up to speed on some basic firearms skills. They could learn how to, you know, tap and rack. They could clear jams. They could reload. They could do right-handed, left-handed shooting. I mean, just in like 8 hours, they could get some basic proficiency in that. And yet, these leftists they seem to have zero proficiency, even in training that they think is so good that they post the videos on YouTube. They're like, wow, look at us. This is badass stuff, they think. No, you look like morons. You can't even hit paper targets at 25 feet with a rifle. We train it at farther than that with our pistols. You know, we'll do 100-foot shots with our Glocks or SIGs just for fun. You know, can you ping the metal target, you know, at 100 feet or sometimes even 100 yards? We've done pistol shots at 100 yards. And, you know, rifle ranges, you know, anything under 300 yards is considered a no-brainer for anybody who's got any training. And then, you know, we'll train out to 1,000 yards with bolt-action rifles and beyond. So my point is, these people are going to come for you, but they vastly overestimate their ability to kill you and steal your stuff. And they are going to be shocked when they meet actual resistance that is finally unleashed in America. And I think that day is probably coming. Much more straight ahead here on Counterthink.
Exposing the corporate media assault on your reality. It's Counterthink with Mike Adams.
Now, there are many vectors by which the globalists could unleash their global kill weapon. It's pretty obvious that they will tend to favor things like biological weapons, because those, they can unleash them covertly, and they can blame Mother Nature, and they can push vaccines at the same time. So think about that scenario. They go into an airport, they pull a 12 monkeys scenario, they unleash some bio-weaponized viral strain that they've tested on African tribes, of course, because that you think all the Ebola outbreaks in Africa are random? No, they're not. That's called weapons testing, by the way. And so they pull the 12 monkeys, they unleash them in the airports or what have you. And then when people start getting infected and dying, then they go, oh my God, the media says this is an incredible emergency. Everybody has to line up and get vaccinated. So then the vaccine will be laced with a binary weapons chemical. And anybody who lines up to get vaccinated will be dead in 12 to 18 months, because that will be activated by a viral strain that's also released in the wild that actually works as a binary weapon with the vaccine to cause fatalities. Now, they can't have the vaccines, like, kill people right away, because even the morons on the left would notice if it's like, huh, those people got vaccinated and they're dead 3 hours later. The media might not even be able to cover that up, even though they would try. They're like, no, it's just random coincidence. Who are you talking about? It's just coincidence. Because that's what they say now when, you know, triplets go in to get vaccinated and all three babies collapse into autism in 6 hours. They say, it's just a random chance. And people believe that stuff. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people will believe anything. I don't know. But if you line up to get this vaccine, this kill switch vaccine, whatever it's going to be, then you'll be dead in, let's say, 12 to 18 months. Now, the truth is that if there are other vectors of them culling humanity, that would happen much more rapidly. For example, they could fake an EMP attack from North Korea by launching, you know, let's say some rogue deep state sector of the U.S. military. Maybe they took over a nuclear sub or something, and they launched high-altitude nuclear weapons to detonate for an EMP effect over North America. You would have a collapse of the power grid. And then they could blame North Korea, or they could blame Russia, or blame China, or what have you, or even blame Trump for that matter. Trump nuked America. Yeah, that's probably the next Hillary Clinton conspiracy line. Like, well, we thought the Russians, you know, handed the election to Trump. That's her current conspiracy theory. But she says, then we found out Trump nuked America. Yeah. No doubt people on the left would believe that, because they'll believe anything. Again, they have no functioning neurology anymore. They're like empty biological skin bags and puppets, just ready to be stuffed with programming, you know, indoctrination. They're incapable of original thought. But in any case, if they fake an EMP attack but have a real detonation, what I mean by that is they're faking the narrative but the attack is real, then they're gonna you know, take out the power grid nationwide. Now, this, according to the estimates of a private organization, I forgot the name, that was hired to do an analysis for the United States government, estimated that, I believe, 90% of the U.S. population would be dead in 90 days. You might say, well, gosh, how can that happen so quickly? Well, again, the answer is people can't survive without their daily, you know, dependence on food and water and medicine and their iPhones and everything else and gasoline. Well, you take down the power grid through some, you know, big EMP or even a solar flare, a natural space weather event, what happens is all these people who have become so weak and so pathetic, who have lost the will to survive, they overnight find themselves in a scenario that they cannot survive. Because, you know, the entire city of Los Angeles, for example, how do you get water in Los Angeles? Well, it's pumped over a mountain using this massive, you know, hydrological distribution system that relies on electricity and its own substation power grid that relies on, I think, natural gas to a large extent in California. And if that whole system goes offline because of an EMP or a solar flare, you've got, I don't know how many million, more than 10 million, let's say, people in Los Angeles, and probably 9.9 million have no clue how to survive power outage. Now, you're going to have like ex-military, you're going to have some survivalists who are in Los Angeles, maybe some of you are watching, you're going to have some, maybe law enforcement, maybe some EMTs. Firefighters tend to be tough people, they tend to be way more prepared than others. You're going to have those people, those are going to be the survivors. Those are going to be the, you know, maybe up to 10% who survive. Although I think that number is kind of optimistic for Los Angeles. The other 90% will be dead in 90 days, according to this government report. You might ask, what are they dead from? Well, according to the report, it's very simple. It's starvation, disease, and murder from the social chaos. It's the breakdown of law and order. So, you know, a certain number of people are going to starve to death. A certain number of people are going to have infectious diseases because of the total lack of sanitation. If you think there's human feces all over the streets of San Francisco and Los Angeles today, wait till there's no electricity for the state of California. You're going to have rivers of human feces flowing down the streets of Los Angeles and San Francisco and Sacramento and, you know, Oakland, for that matter, and San Diego. Every major city in California will become a bleep hole city, as Trump once said about other countries. And in that scenario, disease spreads like crazy. You're going to have cholera spreading like mad. And California is home to all these infectious diseases of people who have these bizarre sexual habits. Like, for example, anal cancer is really huge. It's an epidemic in San Francisco. You've got AIDS and HIV all over the place there. You've got all these sexually transmitted diseases that are just rampant across California because of the lifestyles that many of those people live. It's cause and effect. I'm just stating a medical reality here. Don't judge me for telling you the truth about the filth that has become the West Coast of California, or the filth that will become in a collapse scenario. So these people are going to be busy trying to survive infectious diseases, trying to just hydrate when they're having diarrhea and vomiting and whatever the symptoms are from cholera or other diseases. Well, there's no water. And Los Angeles is a desert. And it's surrounded by desert. What are you going to do for water? Well, the average person has no clue. And then there's food. And then there's security. Well, California has strict gun control laws. And they've told people you can only have 10-round magazines. This is why all the patriots in California had been stocking up on 30-round magazines during that Operation Airlift recently, when that judge rescinded the law that limited magazine capacity to 10. There were over a million 30-round or high-capacity, well, I call them normal-capacity magazines that were shipped into California. Believe me, there's going to come a day, if you're in California, you're going to pray you have a 30-round magazine in your AR. You're going to pray you have a 15 or 21-round magazine in your pistol, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it to survive. And if you don't have any training, you don't have any hardware, you don't have even the discipline or the willpower to survive, you're just going to join the mass death of the masses there, who are basically a suicide cult. Now remember, this is the plan of the globalists. This is what they want to see happen. One of the reasons this is going to happen is because the globalists have decided that, in their view, the Earth is way overpopulated and they have to eliminate roughly 90% of the human population. Well, for them to take down the power grid is one of the most effective ways, in their view, of getting that done. And they could fake a cyber attack. They could say, well, gosh, China hit us with a cyber attack. Or North Korea hit us with a cyber attack. Or Russia. Just take down all the power grid nationwide. Let it stay down for 90 days. And the globalists have basically achieved their goal. So how do you survive that? That's going to be the focus of the rest of my show here. I'm going to share with you some very important thoughts on how you survive what's coming and how you can be among the 10% of humanity that does survive this. And it's not very difficult. That's the silver lining in this horrific scenario that I'm describing. To survive, I mean, to be smarter than 9 out of 10 people, that's not difficult at all. California, the West Coast, it's full of the most incredibly stupid morons that humanity's ever produced. All you got to do is be smarter than 9 of those people. That's not difficult. You just have to be more prepared, more trained, and have more willpower. Not difficult at all. I'll explain more as we continue here on Counterthink with Mike Adams.
Countering the brain-dead propaganda of the status quo. This is Counterthink with Mike Adams, right here on InfoWars.
All right, so surviving what's coming is not as difficult as you might suppose. All you have to do is have more survival skills or better survival instinct than 9 out of 10 people. And that's not difficult, as I mentioned before, given that probably 99% of the population now consists of completely uninformed masses, drones, people who've lost the will to survive. They have no survival instincts. They have no skills, nothing. That's like 99% of the population, really, if you think about it. All you have to do is be smarter than those people. I mean, look, if they're going to kill 9 out of 10 people, you just have to be the 1 in 10 that's smarter than the other 9, more capable, more willpower. That's not difficult to do. I mean, just by watching this show probably indicates that you're already in that top 10%, if not the top 1% in terms of being informed, probably having survival skills, probably having some life experience that lends itself to survival. You might be a veteran. You might be law enforcement. You might be a firefighter, paramedic. You might be a survivalist, a prepper, what have you. You might be a proficient in, let's say, gun competitions, things like that. You might be a medic. All these skills are very useful. So all you have to do is really, first, isolate yourself from the high-density population centers. So that's step one. Do not get caught in Los Angeles when it hits the fan, okay? Do not get caught in Las Vegas. Why? Well, there's no water there. You know, try not to be caught in Phoenix, Arizona. Why? There's no water there. I mean, there's some water that comes into the city by gravity canals, but that might not be reliable. I mean, imagine a world without pumps. No pumps to pump water because there's no electricity. There's no pumps to pump fuel. There's, without fuel, all the truck deliveries halt, right? So you have no deliveries of pharmaceuticals and antibiotics and products at the grocery store, food, Walmart items, everything, car parts, you know, parts for your farm machinery, even gun parts, ammunition. Like everything stops for a period of time. So if you are in the city, if you're caught in the city when that happens, your risk of death goes up dramatically. If you're out in the country when that happens and you're not in the city, your chances of survival skyrocket. So given that we don't know the day that this happens, you need to get out of the city while you can. My advice is to do so before the 2020 election, because on election day, if Trump wins re-election, there's a very high risk that the radical left is going to try to carry out a communist coup, you know, within the days or weeks following that, or maybe before early 2021. Who knows? But if Trump wins again, the left goes insane and they try everything. They'll try anything. So consider that to be kind of a literal drop-dead timeline. Maybe you should be out of the city before then. Secondly, if you're out in the country, be self-reliant, which means you need to have redundant backup systems that you probably already know about for food, water, medicine, growing some food, garden seeds, food preservation, also some home security, not just firearms, but having a dog or two, having some buffer space, having some strategic, you know, oversight of the layout of your land and possible avenues of approach if someone were to attack you, how you might defend yourself, cross-training with other members of your family or your community, have, you know, training about how to stop bleeding, tourniquets and compresses and blood stop devices, you know, training in firearms and firearms repair, and having the supplies and the skills that you need to survive if something goes wrong. That's all basic stuff, as far as I'm concerned. To me, those are the basics. That's what you got to have to be able to survive, I think, what's coming. But the good news is that if you can get past the first 90 days, according to these government-funded reports, that's it. Like 90% of the population is already dead in 90 days. So if you can get past that 90 days, you've already made it through the hard times. And I don't mean to make light of this, but this is what the globalists want. And I'm convinced we can't stop it now. We've tried to stop it for many, many years, but I'm convinced we can't. It's coming. They're going to unleash maybe an EMP, maybe a grid down, maybe a biological weapon system, maybe civil war, maybe a nuclear bomb. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like, but they're going to do it because they hate humanity. And most humans are now suicidal cultists. No, I mean, it's almost like no wonder the globalists hate so many of these people because they're so damn pathetic. You know, it's like the globalists are saying to themselves that they call them useless eaters. And really at every level, even the governments of the world know that they can't remain financially solvent if they have to keep paying out all these entitlements and food stamps and everything to these people. So they want to get rid of them. You know, you and I, as more humanitarians, would say, you know, it's wrong for them to kill 6 billion people. That's wrong, obviously. It's like a Holocaust times 1,000. But in the minds of the globalists, that's just for them, that's just another day of saving the planet. You know what I mean? This is what they tell themselves. Or if they're getting orders from, you know, I don't know, orbiting space stations, or who knows? Who knows where they're getting their orders? I don't even know. Or some demon portal or something. Who knows? But they've decided to eliminate 6 billion people. And so you can survive it. You can survive it. You got to get past the first 90 days. Now, during this time, of course, the government will focus its efforts on the cities, and they'll try to run gun confiscation through the cities to take away everybody's firearms. they probably won't have the resources to focus on rural areas. So the more out of the way that you can be, the more backwoods, you know, mountainous, escape to Idaho, you know, the farther away that you can be from any city, the less likely you are to be visited by anybody who wants to take your guns. And by the way, there aren't going to be gun confiscation teams that really make it very far if they go to Idaho. I mean, that would be a suicide mission. Hi, I'm Bob. I'm the gun confiscation squad leader for, you know, for Northern Idaho. Oh, hi, Bob. You have a life expectancy of about 4 days. Good luck, Bob. And there won't be replacements for Bob. You know what I mean? Because those patriots in Idaho, they're not giving up their guns, period. And they've already ranged, like, the mailbox at the end of their driveway. They know, oh, that's 650 yards. They've got it sighted in, man. Bob's not going to even make it up the driveway. And probably the same is true in Texas and parts of Utah and certain, you know, rural Washington State, rural Oregon, Wyoming, you know, even rural Colorado and so on. Get out of cities. You're not going to be bothered by all this. And again, I don't mean to make light of this. It's just I've explained this so many times to so many different people in so many different shows that it's becoming old hat for me to explain this. Look, the bottom line is surviving this is easy. If they wipe out 90% of the world population, you can make it through it. All you have to do is just have some basic common sense here. Get out of the cities in advance. Be prepared to live 90 days completely off-grid. Get as far out of the way as you can. And be able to defend yourself. And then, here's the even better news, be ready to contribute to the rebuilding of society, what I've called the next society. In the next society, and I intend to be here as well, I hope I can make it through, we will demand a much more high integrity vision of individual liberty as what our founding fathers saw, but they forgot to put some things into the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, like really limiting the growth of government. You know, now the 10th Amendment was never followed. The federal government just continued to expand like a cancer. And what about a health bill of rights? What about ending these vaccine mandates? We need to have, you know, like a new First Amendment that is you have the right to say no to medical interventions that might be pushed on you by, you know, at gunpoint by the state itself. So we need to rethink a lot of things and expand the protections of individual liberties. My point is, if you make it through this, you'll have the opportunity to participate in the rebuilding of society. But if you continue to live in Los Angeles and you don't get prepared and you've lost the will to survive, you're just going to be culled with the other 6 billion people that the globalists want to get rid of. And they've now legalized, you know, human corpse recycling systems to efficiently eliminate the bodies. And they're going to have, you know, street sweepers just scooping them up and they'll just spread them on farms, whatever. They've got that all figured out. All you have to do to survive is, well, frankly, maybe take some basic advice. Look, watch my videos at counterthink.com. Read my website, survival.news. We're going to keep publishing. I'm going to keep posting videos as long as I can, as long as I'm on the air. And maybe they won't even be able to take us offline. I don't know. But I stand for America. I'm a Trump supporter. I'm a scientist and I'm a survivalist. And I'm a, you know, I'm going to be here. And I hope you are too. And I'll stay on the air as long as I can. And we will defend America together. How's that sound? And maybe rebuild America together. Thanks for watching. This has been Counterthink here with Mike Adams. Stay tuned. One more episode yet to come.